Parevaik, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Parevaik, thank you very much for having me.
Like mid-December, ANC announced about changes to its national board. What was the reason for the changes?
Just like any organization, we need to recalibrate. Sometimes that requires moving of deck chairs, returning members or having new members, bringing in new perspectives. You know, we're in the business of public affairs at the end of the day, which is a constantly changing environment. So we always hold up the mirror to ourselves and make decisions about how we can do things a little bit better. And I think this time we were fortunate enough to make some personal adjustments and positional adjustments to the national board, which I think is going to serve the Armenian Australian community well when it comes to us serving their public affairs interests. We had Sajak Kortyan, who's been in the board for many, many years, in and out once or twice. He's now the chairman and somebody with significant experience and a legal practitioner by trade. Vache Kahramanyan, who is my predecessor as executive director, he is now the vice chair of the ANC-AU National Board. Greg Solomonian stays on in his position as honorary chair. We have a few people in the government relations role, more than we've probably ever had, actually, who are professionals in that space, in Sasun Grigorian, Talin Shamalian, and Hovik Melkonian, who's also a liaison to Victoria. We have in community relations, Stephen Abulakian and Harach Lusikian. And we have a communications director in Garine Torosyan, as well as myself. I think I've mentioned everybody, but that's the makeup of the National Board at the moment.
And just before Christmas, the National Board announced that you will be ANCA's Executive Director. So the Board elects its Executive Director?
Yes, that's correct. I was tapped on the shoulder a few months ago and offered this honour of running the day-to-day operations. And like most organisations which have a board and an office, we will be running the day-to-day in terms of the operations out of the office. And the National Board, they are in charge of, you know, setting the agenda, doing the reviews, strategies, and, of course, all the hiring is done from the National Board.
Since this is a full-time position, you'll dedicate all your time to ANCA, so it's a more professional approach to Armenian issues?
Yes. In 2015, in the lead-up to the centenary of the Armenian Genocide, we had a full-time executive director in my predecessor, Vache Kahramanyan, and before him, we had Varant Mugerdichan. Both obviously served us tremendously over, I think, five, six combined years. And after 2015, we had a little bit of a break from having that position fulfilled. Somehow because of personnel issues, you know, we didn't find the right candidate at the time, but also because we tried, we were in a status on regarding the Armenian cause in 2015 after the centenary of recalibration in terms of how are we going to approach this issue that we have approached for 100 years differently. So during that period, it was more a matter of reflection and strategizing and planning, which was able to be done at board level, as well as with our international colleagues in other countries who deal with the same issues on behalf of their local communities. And we eventually came up with the strategies that were required. We had administrators that were working in our office prior to the current team. We had Arin Markarian. And last year, we had the employment of two admin assistants in the ANCAU office who are still in the office. That is Olivia Dilanchan and Michael Kolokosyan, who are joining me in the day-to-day operations of running ANCAU.
So what will be your role as a full-time executive director?
My role is representing the interests of the Armenian-Australian community. And the Armenian-Australian community has interests that are national in terms of, related to the motherland, their bloodline, like justice for the Armenian genocide and localization of that matter here in Australia. What we can do here is always the question we ask. Peace and security and stability in the Republic of Artsakh, that is another matter that is important to Armenian Australians, and what we can do here in Australia to make that a reality for our people in Artsakh. long-suffering people of Artsakh, actually. And then we've got more local issues in public affairs that we will tend to. So, for example, we have community centres who require government assistance in this or that way. We have Golston College, our day school. We have other schools in the community who might require liaising with government or different departments like the Board of Studies. We have refugees in recent years who have come here in large numbers. And the Armenian Resource Centre was recently established to assist them. And they're liaising with certain government associations and government entities or politicians is usually facilitated through the office that I am now leading. All of these matters and more will be on our desk. And this is sort of without going into detail of any single one, which I'm happy to do if you like, but that is the general subject matter in which we'll be occupying my day and the day of everybody else involved in the ANCAU.
End of this year, state elections will be held in Victoria and next year in New South Wales and later federally. What is your assessment of the situation on federal, states and local levels towards Armenian issues like the Armenian genocide, Artsakh and other issues?
Sure. We're definitely looking at things at all those levels of government, local, state and federal. And of course, even with federal government, all politics is local, as they say. At local level, I mean, we recently engaged in the Right Council elections, which is a pretty populated Armenian electorate, and the federal by-election in Bennelong, we were quite engaged with that as well. In terms of the state elections, in New South Wales, the key national Armenian issues in terms of Armenian genocide recognition and the recognition of Artsakh as a republic has been achieved. Therefore, the state elections, which are coming in New South Wales next year, will be more about the local issues that we have to further, as well as leveraging the influence of the motions that have been passed here in New South Wales in assisting our federal cause. We can take that a lot further than we've taken it so far, because in the Armenian Genocide Recognition motion, which was passed by New South Wales in 1997, and 2013, in both of those motions, the final clause actually says that the New South Wales government calls on the federal parliament of Australia to recognise the Armenian genocide. And it's similar in the Artsakh motion of 2012 as well. Therefore, we need to work with state government to actually leverage that promise to try to take that further. In terms of the Victorian parliament and the Victorian elections, the Victorian government, we are definitely interested there. We've recently established an ANCAU Melbourne branch, which is being headed up by Asped Boymushakian and a few of his colleagues, which I'll let him name in an interview with you in the future, because that body is actually having new people join it on a day-to-day basis. The Victorian elections is going to be one of their focus. We haven't had as much activism in Victoria as we would like. There is obviously a sizable Turkish community there. Some of them are quite engaged in politics, and that does usually make life a little bit difficult for people like us who have the currency of truth as opposed to the currency of numbers, whether they are prefixed with a dollar sign or suffixed with the word votes. We don't necessarily have that advantage, but we do have the currency of truth. And we talk to politicians on a day-to-day basis and inform them on these issues. They will be doing the same, our team in Melbourne. I'll be joining them as well. And we will be hoping that the Armenian genocide issue at least gets some more airtime in the Parliament of Victoria, whether that's before the election, during or after the election. We'll make sure that becomes an issue that is ringing in the ears of the politicians, particularly those who are seeking to be elected in Armenian-populated electorates and well-meaning politicians generally. In terms of elections and states, there's also a state election in Tasmania coming up on the 3rd of March. There's another one coming up in South Australia, I believe, on the 17th of March. We are not only focusing on New South Wales. We are not only focusing on Victoria. We genuinely want Armenian issues represented across the country. We have Armenians across the country. We will be doing our utmost to reach out to those Armenians and making sure that if their interests are aligned with ours, we will pledge to represent them and, you know, hand in hand go for everything that we can go for in terms of the protection of the rights of Armenians here and around the world. The status of our issues in federal parliament are a little bit mixed. We have politicians in a large number that are well-meaning. If we're going to talk about justice for the Armenian genocide, justice for the Armenian genocide is obviously going to be decided in court somewhere, or if Turkey decides to put its hand up and admit to its wrongs and they sit at a table with Armenia and decide what's going to happen next. But as far as us locally, as far as people whose ancestors were victims to that genocide, still unrecognized, still unpunished, we always ask ourselves, what can we do over here? And what we can do over here is live in a country that not only we respect as Australians and respects us as Australians, but also respects our past. And it is a real pain to Armenian Australians that the country we call home, we have always known to be home, Australia, does not recognize this dark chapter of our history. And as Australians, we want our Armenian heritage to be recognized, dark and bright. All of it needs to be recognized by our representatives. We have a lot of well-meaning politicians who understand that. They're informed on the issue. In fact, I don't think there is any single politician in the federal parliament building in Australia who doesn't know that the Armenian genocide took place and doesn't know that the Armenian genocide was genocide. However, Turkey does operate in a different capacity. They don't operate like us, representing the local interests of their community. They operate through their embassies and, you know, try to place a foreign gag rule, foreign imposition on our politicians and our departments. And so far, their actions in terms of threats against Gallipoli, threats against certain sanctions, threats against certain diplomatic struggles that they might face if they speak up or recognize the Armenian genocide, has worked. So what we need in terms of the status of affairs in federal parliament, federal politics, is politicians and a parliament with backbone, willing to use their backbone. What we don't want is when they hear those threats, they slouch and they say, yeah, look, you know, I know it's genocide, but I don't actually want to speak out about it and create a kerfuffle. We want kerfuffle if it is about truth. And of course, the Armenian genocide is true. Everybody knows that. Now we are seeking the backbone that is required to honour our ancestors and to respect the Armenian Australians who are citizens of this nation. In terms of Artsakh, obviously, that is an absolute priority for us at the moment. Since 2016 April, it's become more of a priority. It is very regular that the line of contact is breached by Azerbaijan, and Armenian soldiers and sometimes even civilians receive their fire and die. And as long as we have brothers and sisters in Artsakh dying because of breaches of a ceasefire, we need to make sure that our politicians are informed about this. We need to make sure that they're not just informed about the fact that this is happening, but they're also informed about who they're dealing with when it comes to this matter. Because it's very common for the Armenian National Committee to visit a politician, and for that politician to receive a visit from the Azerbaijani embassy not too long after that visit. And the embassy somehow comes in and says a different side of the story. But there are some facts, and we're on an information campaign to ensure that our political leaders in Australia know those facts. For example, our political leaders need to know that Azerbaijan has been ruled by somebody with the surname Aliyev since 1969. The father, then the son, in terms of the current president, Ilham Aliyev. They need to know that Ilham Aliyev recently changed the rules in a referendum to extend his rule, expand his powers. And he also followed that referendum with quite an interesting move. by naming his wife as his vice president. We need to inform our politicians that in that same referendum, that of which the results were actually released before anybody had a chance to vote, in that same referendum, the age to become president was reduced significantly in a move that everybody anticipates will ensure that if anything does happen to Ilham Aliyev, his son, who's currently 19, can take over and continue this Aliyev rule. Our politicians, our political leaders need to be aware of this. They need to be aware that the Azeri laundromat is real. The OCCRP, anti-corruption watchdog, which, you know, revealed the Panama Papers, recently revealed the Azeri laundromat. The laundromat proved that the Aliyevs and Azerbaijan pay politicians in cash in the Western world to receive favorable coverage, statements, and votes about their country. This is fact. Our politicians need to be aware of this, because the democracy in which we live should not have equal opportunity given to Azerbaijan as is being given to Armenia. In the case of Artsakh, the OSCE Minsk group, which is charged with bringing peace to the region of Nagorno-Karabakh, is actually an organization that Australia is a partner of. It says that it will resolve, among other things, the Azeri and Armenian conflict on the grounds of self-determination. Azerbaijan have skewed Australia's positioning on this. Certain politicians here have visited Azerbaijan and somehow returned to say that they recognize Azerbaijan's territorial integrity, despite Australia being a partner of the OSCE, and the OSCE saying that we will resolve this conflict based on territorial integrity and the people's right to self-determination. These are issues that some of our politicians are very well aware of, but we feel not enough of them are. And definitely departments such as the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade is not well enough aware of these issues. We need to make these a lot more apparent. We need everybody to know what the facts are. We need to know that to bring peace to this region, as the OSCE is trying to do, we need a more honest partner than Azerbaijan, and Australia needs to decide if they want to be protecting a map that was drawn by the last great communist dictator in Joseph Stalin, or they want to believe in the people's right to self-determination like they did with the case of East Timor and other matters. This Artsakh issue and Australia's positioning on Artsakh needs to be front and center of ANCAU's activities, because there are people's lives at stake on a day-to-day basis over there. And before, I was talking about currencies. The currency of caviar is used by Azerbaijan. The currency of lavish trips to Baku is used by Azerbaijan. We don't have any of that. We only have the currency of truth. And the currency of our people. And I think if we can continue to represent that as Armenian Australians, I think that we can definitely make some ground. We have a lot of well-meaning politicians in Australia, and it's up to us as ANCAU, your public affairs representatives, to inform them.
The absence of an Armenian embassy in Australia does make your work more difficult?
Look, I think our work and an embassy's work is definitely different, and we need to clarify that often, because obviously Turkey does all of its lobbying through its embassy, and that an embassy is actually a foreign nation. You never want, as an Australian, a foreign nation to be influencing Australian policy. That's not the way the world, democracy, politics should work. However, would an embassy be helpful for Armenia? Absolutely. For example, Turkey has an embassy. Many other countries obviously have embassies in Australia. And as a result of that, they benefit from warmer relationships between Australia and their nations. So if Armenia had an embassy here, I'm sure that trade between Armenia and Australia would definitely improve. I'm sure that the understanding of these global issues, such as the ones we've talked about today, will improve. But there's obviously times that the Armenian embassy might be saying things that we disagree with. we represent the interests of Armenian Australians, and Armenian Australians do not always agree with the Armenian government either. Therefore, there are different jurisdictions in which we operate. However, the embassy influence that is used by our competitors would definitely be negated somewhat if Armenia was here. And more importantly, there will be a lot more positive relations between Armenia and Australia if we had more formal, more direct diplomatic relations than we do right now in terms of an embassy and ambassador here.
As you mentioned before, the Armenian community is small in Australia and with limited resources compared to other communities. However, it's possible to do a lot of good things working with other communities with similar experiences. Have you developed a good working relationship with other communities like the Greeks, Assyrians, or the Jewish community?
That is a very important part of our approach, Vahe, because as much as we would like to think that the currency of truth is enough, it sometimes isn't. We do need to talk about numbers. We do need to talk about influence. And the reality is that there are many issues where we align with other communities. My predecessors in the role of executive director, Vache and Varant, have done tremendous work in fostering those relationships. And it's my job to build on those relationships along with my team in the office and our national board now. We have fellow genocide victim communities, so let's talk about them in one category. So you've got the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Jews. We have the Darfuris, the Rwandans, the Cambodians. These communities have all suffered genocide within the last century or so, and their issues are our issues and our issues are their issues. We always look to each other to promote those issues and stand up against the denial of these issues, which is where the issue really is in terms of denial. We will be advancing those relationships further from our end. We've already met very recently with the Assyrian Universal Alliance, who've pledged to do the same. We've got a fantastic relationship with them. They do tremendous work on behalf of their community. We're doing the same very soon with the Jewish community, where we've got meetings with them lined up next week, and the Greeks will come soon after that, and we'll work through those relationships. There are also other issues, though, where we work with these fellow ethnic communities, whether they are, you know, genocide victim communities or not. For example, you know, the Lebanese Maronites, the Arab Muslim communities, and other communities that exist here in Australia, like the Chinese, the Koreans, etc. We've dealt with them on matters in the past as well, and we'll look to deal with those matters again. So, for example, when there's when there was the 18C debate around legislation that was going to change to make discrimination against race more acceptable by Australian law, we rallied against that as ethnic communities, and we tried to beat it. The reality is, we do live in a country that is very accepting, very warm. It is our country, but there are still people in this country, and some of them in powerful positions, who do subscribe to a modern version of the White Australia policy. And in any version of the White Australia policy, none of these communities should exist. Therefore, we need to be vigilant to make sure that this society remains multicultural, remains very accepting of multiculturalism, and says an absolute no to racism. We will work with all of these communities more than ever before.
So far, only the Greens have an official position on the Armenian genocide?
The Greens have a federal position on the Armenian genocide and a nationwide decision on the Armenian genocide where they recognize it. And so does the NXT, the Nick Xenophon Team Party, the Nick Xenophon Party. They also have a party position on that. Their leader has spoken about that before.
My last question, ANC has organized a lecture in Sydney and Melbourne this month. Do you have more information?
Yeah, so Gevorg Petrosyan is a Turkologist. He's a PhD candidate at the moment studying in Armenia. And he's in Sydney because his mother actually lives here. So he's here on a visit. We managed to spend some time with him. He's done some research on the modern approach to Armenian genocide denial adopted by Turkey since the Erdogan years, which is this whole shared pain theory, suggesting that yes, it was a war. Yes, we killed people, but they also killed us. So, you know, let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. There was no genocide. He's actually debunked that approach, which has been subscribed to by the Turkish government and some of the people in their under their influence. This shared pain theory is something that we battle against as the ANC AU every single day. Therefore, it's important, I think, to see the scholarly work, which proves that there was no shared pain. Everybody dies in war, etc. But genocide is genocide, and it needs to be identified as such. And of course, the ramifications and reparations that should follow from genocide is different to what the shared pain approach that they've taken. He's got some very factual and interesting analysis of that. He's also an expert on other matters, Turkey-related matters. He makes several trips to Turkey every single year, deals with Hamshen, Islamized Armenians, Kurds in the areas where it was previously Western Armenia, currently temporarily Eastern Turkey. Therefore, it's going to be a very interesting opportunity for our community to hear from a young scholar like Gevorg Bedrosyan. The lectures will actually be delivered in Armenian on the 18th of February in Sydney at 7 p.m. at the Willoughby Armenian Cultural Centre, and on the 23rd Friday, 7 p.m. At Springvale's Hygetron on the 23rd of February. So please be there and support young Armenian scholarly work. It's very important to the eventual justice that we all seek.
Hi, thank you very much for the interview and the extensive information. I wish you great success in your new position.
Thank you, Vaya. I look forward to speaking with you again.